Let me pray and get your Bible, open up to 1 Samuel chapter, Samuel chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Let's take you do that. And half of us got it on our phones, right? And I'll just take you at your word that you're not texting or watching some football game or reading your emails. But let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We just thank you. I mean, there's so much stuff that is part of our everyday life that is an incredible gift that we walk in every single day as Americans, as people who have our health, at least most of it. But we're here, and we live in a time, in spite of difficulties, we live in a nation where we can still worship you publicly and freely. In fact, we were born into families, or we have come into situations where we are the envy of probably more than half the world right now. The homes we live in would be like a palace for a large portion of people today in this world. And we just thank you. We take nothing for granted, and we certainly don't think that somehow we deserve it. But we are thankful. And I pray you just help us always be aware of just the grace and the mercy of God that is displayed in what's around us every single day. And that we might walk humbly before you. And gratefully before you, and so open your word, Lord, today, and bless our extended time together in Jesus' name. Everybody said, "Amen." Amen. Okay, so let's 1 Samuel 1. Remember, last week we talked about Hannah and Penny the Pain. You know, that was the other wife there, Penny. You know, and if you weren't here, get the tape, or we don't do that anymore, do we? But for a few that weren't, some weren't here. Hannah, there's the Elkanah. He is a godly man, and he has a wife named Hannah and Penina. Penina had children. Hannah was barren, and it was a scourge every year. And Penina, Penny, I'll just call her, it's easier to say, Penny was poking her all the time and making her feel horrible, making Hannah feel horrible because of that. You understand in that culture, too, not to have children meant that you must have some kind of curse of God upon you. You must have done something wrong. There's something wrong with you, you know, and so which is wrong. But this was the thing, and so she finally came to the point where she cried out to the Lord with all of her heart, and even made a vow: "If you will give me a child, I'll give him back to you." The ultimate moment of, she had been asking and longing for a child, but it would seem that at this moment she got to the place: "God, I'll do anything. And in fact, if you give me the desire of my heart, I'll give it back to you. Just to be able to be a mother." And so that happened. We talked about that. And so look at in verse 21 of chapter 1. Just read that as she kind of fills the story. Then we're going to go into Hannah's prayer in the first part of chapter 2. But reading in chapter 1, verse 21. "When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, 'After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always.' 'Do what seems best to you,' Elkanah told her husband. 'Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word.' So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him." Let me just pause there for a moment. The idea of weaning, you know, how old was he? And that's your question. I mean, Probably somewhere. Well, he would be. He wouldn't be any more than three, any less than three. And it all depend on, you know, she. They're at the feast. You know, came home. She got pregnant 8-9 months later. So she has a baby, maybe 10 months, depending on how things work. Anyways, so by the next annual feast of, there were three annual feasts that they celebrated, but they used the one they were at. So now he's 2 or 3 months old, and then 3 years and 2 months, and you know whatever it might be. You can be sure that weaning must have included potty training. Come on, you know. And so there's really no definitive definition as far as how long. Clearly, nursing, this was part of how our children were raised, and nurse all of our kids. And not to get into all that thing, but 3 years or so. And the word weaning, though, it carries a larger understanding. The idea is the word can be translated as ripen or even reward. It's like that the thing you received at the end of the race. You know, you've finished the course. And I just think about what Paul said to Timothy: "I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." You know, and as you know, in that sense. His faith had been, he had been weaned. He's being weaned from this world, and he's ready to go to be with the Lord and these kind of things. You know, he was probably 3.5, 4. And any mom, just think about this, about doing this, right? Let's look at verse 24. After he was weaned, she took the boy After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And remember, Shiloh, the temple, the tabernacle, the tent version of the temple, was not in Jerusalem at this time. It was in Shiloh. That was Jerusalem had not been become the center at this point. This occurs, and we are at the end of the time of the judges. Okay, Samuel is the last of all the judges. He also is a priest and he's also a prophet. So, just some context there. And who was the last prophet before Samuel? Remember, Samson, right? And it's interesting that Samson was remember what he was called? He was a Nazarite. He was dedicated to the Lord and from birth. Among other things, he wasn't supposed to touch a dead body. He wasn't supposed to drink fermented drink, and he wasn't ever cut his hair. These kind of things. And God did powerful things through Samson. But Samson, he was so consumed with his own personal lusts and desires and self-centeredness that he really sabotaged a lot of what God could have done through him. And so Samuel is born, as I said last week, Samuel is born, and he is born to be a Nazarite as well. And Hannah says in her vow to God that a razor will never touch his hair. And so it's like Samson was to be a Nazarite, and now God is bringing Samuel in and preserving a woman and letting her be barren to bring her to the place where he can bring the deliverer through the barren one. Just a marvelous story of how God, you think God has forgotten about you. No, he's preparing you for something greater. He hasn't forgotten about you. You need to walk through a time of silence and that so he can develop inside of you the desires that need to be there so that when the time comes, you'll call out to him and he will answer in power and greatness for his day. And anyway, so we talked all about that last week. So So here she brings him there to Shiloh, and verse 25, when they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Eli is the high priest, been there for a long time. He has two very carnal sons, just twisted, evil, corrupt sons who are now taking roles as priests. We'll talk about them next week. And verse 26, and she said to him, can you imagine, Caden? Now you know the story, all right? You're Hannah, all right? And it's now about 4.5 years or so, something like that, after that time where Eli accused you of being drunk as you're praying. You know, she's just pouring her heart out to God in prayer at the temple outside near the tabernacle. And Eli sees her mouth moving, but she's not talking. And he just assumes she's drunk. And he says, you give up your drinking, woman. What's wrong with you? And she didn't miss a beat. She says, no, I'm crying out to the Lord. And now she comes to Eli. What a moment of joy, of gratefulness, like, look what God has done. Here's the son that I asked for and God gave me. And now, and then something had to shift inside of her as she then gave her little, roughly 3.5, 4-year-old son to Eli. Come on, moms, what's going through your head? I mean, this joy of what God has done and now facing the fulfillment, the realization of the fulfillment of the vow she made to God. And she made it. She walked through it. And she goes on. She says, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So many dynamics going on there. Eli is probably like, wow. Of course, he would have known, because Elkanah came every year to the feast. He would have known that Hannah had a little boy, but here's this really moment. I don't know what Elkanah would think, but there's nobody who could have had more emotions than Hannah at this time, as she's about to go back home and leave her little toddler with Eli. And she knew, everybody knew about Hophni and Phinehas, his two sons, but she had dedicated him to the Lord. And what was Samuel? What was his response? Mommy? And yet you got to know she had been talking to him, you know, preparing him. I mean, this backstory, just this, instead of reading it like a news item, read it as a mom or a dad watching your little child be left behind for these purposes. And yet this is what Hannah does. And let's look at her prayer. This is a confession I'll make. Many times, there's a few portions in Scripture, Old or New Testament, where like this, you know, a great thing happened, and the person it happened to, like Hannah in this case, has a prayer of praise. I'll read it and then move on, get to the next part of the story. But there is so much it just in her prayer here as we think about looking what the Lord has done. And this is what she's doing. She's looking, it's not the end of her year, it's the end of this moment of fulfilling a vow that she made to the Lord approximately 4 years beforehand. And she offers a prayer to the Lord. In verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, then Hannah prayed. And so she's standing right there at the tabernacle with Eli, and everybody's hearing, says, my heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord is my horn. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high, or another way it can be said, in the Lord is my strength, or I am strengthened in the Lord, is what she's saying. It says, my mouth boasts over my enemies. It's like, so there. You thought you would win, But look what has happened. For I, it says, my mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. And we've been singing about that this morning. You know, I mean, just the power of that moment, that she has an understanding, a perception of who God is that she would never had had life just been normal like everybody else. And to also to note that as difficult as her life had been as a woman unable to have children, and she watching her competitor in this. This is why polygamy is really bad news, but the culture of the day allowed that. But her competitor, Penny, was just fertile myrtle. She was one baby after another, you know, and driving home the barrenness in Hannah, the very thing that meant the most to her. As I said last week, I just can't imagine there's a woman, you are created to bring life into this world, and not be able to do that is there's got to be something within you that men, us men, cannot truly comprehend, but must appreciate. And so, as she cried out to the Lord, and then God finally answered her, that her barrenness was the forge, you know, that place that forged her faith in God. It also, the fact that she kept walking with God in spite of no answer to her prayers, right? That, you know, she was wanting and longing for a child, and yet there was no answer over and over again. But she didn't turn and accuse God of wrongdoing. She didn't sin by accusing God of wrongdoing, just as Job did not sin by accusing God of wrongdoing and everything that flooded into his life. And Job never got an explanation. It's this thing, just these first two verses, that we need to have this understanding, this mindset of who God is. This is who our God is. There is nobody like our God. There is no rock like our God. There's no one can stand against him. No one can oppose him. No one can defeat him. If I put my trust in him, I will be safe. Right? Amen? He will bring me through. I don't know how he's going to do it. In fact, he'll probably not even explain to me, but my faith remains in him. And in the end, when I am weaned through that moment, I get the reward and I get to see how great my God is again. Amen? And that's what carries us through the dark moments, carries us through the times where things don't make any sense, and that we just keep trusting God, because we will, in the end, give him praise. And here she is. She's look. There is no God. There's no one like you. And then verse 3 says, do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. I can't be the only one that sometimes you've wondered if God was paying attention. Right? But he is the God who knows. And I'm just thinking about as the believers have, and in America and across this world, have been praying for America. We have seen, I believe, on November, was it 4th, 3rd, 5th? That God responded in mercy to the prayers of God's people, and we need to keep praying and asking God to move, because he's a God who knows. He knows what's going on. Did you know did you hear about what was found in Airway Heights just a few days ago? Did Brad tell you about this? Yeah, so the Stevens County Sheriff Brad Mankey, he's a great guy, and we get to know him through the Stevens County Republican Central Committee and stuff. But he shared some things. And the Stevens County Sheriff Department got a search warrant for a home in Airway Heights to get a laptop. Cooperation with the Airway Heights Police Department, they go into this, I think it was an apartment, and they go in there to get this laptop, and what else do they find in there? An IED. What's an improvised explosive device, you know, a terrorist bomb. And so they went and got a search warrant to go search everything else about this lady's place, went in her car. There were seven more in her car. There were eight IEDs in Airway Heights. Remember, I'm not the only one who said this, but several months ago, the earlier part of this year, I just shared with you, you understand that the current administration not only is the greatest promoter of sex trafficking of children, and I believe before God, well, there's a special place in hell for them if they don't repent, all right? I don't care what they get away with in this world. They will stand before God and give an account for the blood of every one of those children whose lives and bodies were destroyed because of the southern border thing, all right? But also because of that southern border, that there are, we know, that there are multiple, some would say 1,000, I don't know, but there are multiple terrorist sleeper cells all throughout this nation now because of what's happened. And you say, Pastor Tim, what are you talking about that for? Well, you already know because I hear them all the time. The point is, listen, this is a reality that we're facing today. We can't lull ourselves to thinking that a candidate that got elected to an office is somehow everything's going to be great now, right? Our Savior isn't Donald Trump. Our Savior is Jesus Christ, right? And the power of God, the most powerful element on a human level in society is the Church of Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit of God, standing on the Word of God, and having the love of God first and foremost towards one another. Let's try that first, okay? All right? And being the salt and light in our world and continuing to intercede for this world. I believe that those were uncovered because of the people in this region who have been lifting up this region. God, have mercy on us and protect us. Right? All right. And I believe that no matter what the devil has planned in the area of terrorist activity, what happened this on New Year's Day, right? You're in Los Angeles, in Louisiana, New Orleans, if you say New Orleans, that you are totally out. You're not a native, and I'm certainly not a native either, but in New Orleans, what happened there, and then Las Vegas, these people had been radicalized, and we understand what's happening. Why is it important that we understand these things? Number one, how else are you going to be pray with specificity, right? And recognize that this is not a game we're playing here, right? But also that we, like Hannah, know what kind of God we serve, right? Boasting over our enemies. Verse 3, do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak with such arrogance, because my God knows, right? And no matter what happens, I believe that it's an interceding and petitioning, a church petitioning heaven on behalf of our communities that will sabotage the work of darkness, whatever they may be in this place. Whatever terror cells or sleeper cells that there are that are in America that have every intention to disrupt and to tear down this nation. Listen, our God is greater. Amen? And we don't have to be afraid of that. We need to know this and know who our God is and be confident in God. And another reason why we need to, because there are people out there who are going to be afraid. We can't be the people walking in fear. Amen? So when they're concerned about that, they should look at us and say, well, why aren't you afraid? Because I know who my God is. I'm not ignorant of what's happening. I'm not going to close my mind and say, na-na-na-na-na-na, I don't hear you. We're going to see it for what it is. We have a corrupt political system. And it's not just in D.C., but it's in Olympia, the media. Likewise, we understand that we can see what it is. We know who the enemy is, and we're not going to pretend like we don't talk about that. But also, we recognize our God is bigger than every single one of them combined, and they can't even lift a finger in comparison to what our God can do. Amen? We intercede for him and to him on behalf of our communities, for the lost and those. You know, I mean, God is so creative at how he does things, right? I mean, just think about it. Can I just use your example that you shared several weeks ago about how God met your financial need, right? You know, talked about there was just a need without all the details. But who knows, back last summer, God prepared a way for you to be delivered by some guy backing into your van, right, and bent the front corner, you know. It was still, even the headlights still worked. It was broken, but it still worked, right? And you didn't know then, but God was then preparing for a deliverance for you, a financial deliverance that you needed. Right? And we prayed, and we, I remember us just, you know, we were talking there at the post office just saying, you know, God's got to change something. We had no idea what it was. And then the whole thing comes around where the insurance company says, try this repair shop, get an estimate. And they did. Oh, we're going to total the van. And guess what? We're going to pay it off for you. And then there's extra money left over from that. So you get that. Oh, guess what? You can buy your van back. And they'll have money left over, and you have no more payment. Who would have thought of that? I'm just saying, I mean, God has his ways of doing that. I think of another story in the Old Testament. This is centuries after our story here, but Hezekiah is king. Sennacherib is the king of Assyria. He's already decimated the northern kingdom. They're all gone, and he's also defeated all these other nations and their gods, their little g gods. And now he's come down to Jerusalem, and it's time, you know, he's telling he, through his generals, are telling the people in Judah and in Jerusalem, don't let Hezekiah fool you and tell you to trust your God. I mean, the gods of this people, he didn't help, and those gods didn't help. No, your God's not going to be any different. And this was Isaiah was there with him. And the whole story, and I like telling stories, but I'll try to keep it short. Donna, I'll try to keep my story short, okay? All right. Anyways, sorry. So, but God speaks at the whole, it's a great story in 2 Kings chapter 19. You can look at that. But they call out to God, and then God speaks through the prophet Isaiah, says, not going to happen. All that boasting, not going to happen. And you think, all right, so God, you're going to raise up our army, and we're going to go out and defeat them, right? And we're going to, Sennacherib, the king, he's going to be defeated and killed. No. God says, I'm going to send word to Sennacherib of something going on, and he's going to leave. It's going to take him back home. And guess what's going to happen back there? The people who want to assassinate him are going to kill him. Who would have thought of that? But, I mean, I could go on story after story here to show how God delivered his people, and there's hardly a carbon-copied version of that. Well, God can meet our need in so many more ways that we could imagine, that we can just go sit back. My God is a God who knows, right? And so he knows your need. He also knows the best way to meet it. And so we stop putting him on the clock, says, God, you have to answer in this time frame. He says, no, I don't. I'm God, you're not. You just trust me. And what a powerful thing that is for us in this day. And that we can walk with our eyes wide open, fully understanding the threat that America faces, which is the thing that drives us to prayer and intercession, right? And to endeavor to be salt and light visible out there where the world is. But with a confidence that no matter what the enemy plans, if we will trust in God, he will make a way. Amen? I need a bigger amen than that. Amen? Okay. That he will make a way. And that what is our purpose here on this earth? What is our desire that God gets? He gets glory out of our lives. That God, at the end of all this, that you get glory, that people see that you intervened here. And so I, on the that Facebook theme that where that news story from the IEDs, I added something too. I just said, you know, good job, Airway Heights, Stevens County Sheriff's. And I believe this is a response to God's people praying. Amen?
Amen.
And so we, you know, we don't fear what they fear, right? We can put our hope in the Lord. I've got to get through this, so we have to eat, so we can eat, right? Okay, look at four, five, and six. Four and five, I mean. It says, the bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who are full hired themselves out for food, but those who are hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne seven children, but she who has had many sons pines away. Now, is Hannah saying God is doing this to people? This is more than, in my view, number one, Hannah did not have seven children, but she did have five, plus the one, and that's later on you find out that God gave her five more children. She's really recounting, if anything, how life goes. Those once were first, you know, and the greatest. There comes a time where they're nobody, and those people who had nothing ends up being great. You know, just think about in school, in high school, you know, those nerdy guys, right? They're the ones, the software, you know, multimillionaires, you know, and these kind of things, and the people, and how things in this world can change, how situations can come into our life that we have no control over, where once we had this, we were in this position, and all of a sudden, for maybe not even any fault of your own, but just how life goes, you're in a completely different place you never thought you'd be. That's just how life is, right? And this is why we need to trust in the Lord, and also not be arrogant about where we're at, that somehow that we've got here because we're so wonderful and so powerful and great, and those people don't deserve our attention because they're nobody and those kind of things. Verse 6, then she brings in the Lord. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. That's... some people have a hard time with that, but he sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. This is just a picture that we serve a sovereign God. That mankind, humanity, we live and operate and act and choose and do good things and bad things according to our desires, right? And then, but ultimately, at the end, God is the one who will decide how things are going to be used for his purposes. The sovereignty of God is that he will have his way. And it's just like, who will be on his team? I don't know if this is a good illustration, but you know, for spring training or for a baseball team or something, you get a whole bunch of people show up, right? But the people who, only the ones who can make the grade end up being on the team, who are able to do so. And there are those... those who walk in faith with God will be the ones who will be with him. But it's open to everybody. Right? What John 3:16, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Is that right? It's not like the ultimate Calvinism that teaches this, that there is a irresistible grace is an idea that if you are going to be saved, it's already been determined. God knows who's going to be saved, and therefore, if you're going to be saved, it's destined to be saved. You have no choice in the matter. You will not be able to resist the grace of God. You will be saved. And the idea of total depravity, that if you have not been chosen to be saved, then no matter how much you might try, you can never be saved. This is a Calvinism. I think Tulip would, if, for those who want to look up Tulip and Calvinism, it'd be an interesting study. But the point is, while we're on this earth, we all have the opportunity to make a choice. Who are we going to serve? And we will all serve somebody. Yes. Right? Yes. And God is saying, whosoever will be saved, right? In Joel 2, it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is the invitation. Even that word that we heard earlier, that would be like a prophetic word, a gift of prophecy, not tongues and interpretation, but the same thing. Notice it wasn't a prophetic prediction about the future, but it was just a word expressing God's heart to certain individuals here. And you knew who you are. It says, saying that, you know, come to me, let go and be completely mine, these kind of things. But that we respond to him and be part of the purposes of God, not the plans and the purposes of this world, which are going to fail. Amen? He says, for the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. See, this, understand that this whole idea, we understand that God exists outside of this creation. Right? He requires nothing from this creation. He requires nothing to exist, as I've said in other contexts. Maybe it was Christmas Eve. But if this world ceased to exist, it wouldn't touch him a bit, because his existence does not require what our existence requires. Amen? This is the God that we serve. And to have, to truly grasp, as now Hannah grasps in a way that she probably never could have had she not walked through this trial of many, many years and then seen the fulfillment of God answer. But not just that, but then she fulfilled the vow she had made to God, and she had now had, not only was he weaned, but her vow was, in a sense, weaned, and she saw the fruit of her labor, and she offers up the sacrifice of praise. This is that sacrifice of praise. Psalm 54, let me just grab it real quick. If you got fast fingers, you could find it too if you want. But Psalm 54, 6. Just says, I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For you have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes. The greatest vindication you can have against what your enemies is to see God do powerful things in your life. To walk in right standing with God, and you don't have to try to get revenge. Even a certain candidate who's going to be inaugurated in about a number of days, he said his greatest revenge or whatever vindication will be succeeding, America succeeding, and that look also. As we try to wind this down, Psalm 119, verse 67. Psalm 119, verse 67. And he says this: before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. And just in many other places we could look up, maybe your own study of scriptures that speak about how it was through the suffering that I met God. It was through the suffering, the trials, that I learned to know who my God was. It was my joy actually came through my sorrow, as I put my sorrow in the hands of God. And he brought me through with a kind of joy that so overshadows the sorrow I had, or any joy I could have had without having to walk through such a difficult time. Our God is a good God. Amen? And he does everything well. Let me just finish her prayer, which is kind of a praise declaration, isn't it? It says, he will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. And I, you know, understanding what's happening in our nation and what's been going on, and the urgency of this hour of the threats that exist, like I've already talked about those, what was discovered at Airway Heights, and we've seen what's happened, what are likely small or domestic terrorist type little things happening, that we call upon God to protect his people and to call to account and to silence the works of darkness, to counteract, to snip off the fuse of the bomb that they light, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Whatever, I mean, these kinds of things, and that he would take care, put those in their place, and that they can't get away with what they've been doing. And going on in that same verse, it says, it is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. That we can have confidence in our God. And if anything, that today as we look back on the last year, maybe number of years, we can look forward in this coming year with hope, right? Romans 15:13, remember that? All right? The God of hope. He's going to fill us with joy and peace as we do what? As we trust in him, right? As we're trusting in him, he wants to do that. This is how we are to live. So the purpose, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you think Aunt Hannah is overflowing with hope in this? Right? So if some of us are facing difficult times, it's okay, God, then I want you to be glorified in this. And I believe that you, as the God of hope, are going to cause something hope can overflow from me onto other people. The hope can overflow from the body of Christ in this region on others around us, as we begin to see God reveal and to break through in areas here, in more than just seeing people get saved, which is the number one thing we need, right? People to find the Lord, but also see a demonstration of his power and his ability to override the works of darkness right here where we live. And that we might give him glory and give him praise. Amen. So let's stand and let's just take a moment. Can we just thank the Lord right now? Oh, we just thank you, God, for who you are. Lift your hands with me and let's just worship the Lord. Father, we just praise you, God. We just praise you. We recall just the ways in which you've worked. Each of us clearly have stories, if it wasn't just in this last year, but things that you have done in our life, ways in which we've seen you come through. And Father, we thank you for that right now. We thank you and praise you, Lord God. And as Hannah allowed her revelation of you speak to her future life, as she saw the greatness of God, she could now look forward to those who would be your enemies and not fear them because of who you are. May we, God, I pray, we here look forward to those things in this world, knowing that our God is a great God. There is no rock like our God. Our God is one who knows, the one who sees, and weighs the deeds of men and the scales. No one is getting away with anything. And Father, we pray for a great deliverance for our nation. We pray for a great awakening, God, in this nation, and a great awakening right here in this region where we live. This is our Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. This is the place you have put us, the place we are stewards of your truth, of your light and your salt. May we be faithful in that. Lord, in Jesus' name, may your Holy Spirit empower and baptize your church in fresh new ways. Father, equipping us, Lord God, that you will get glory in this place. The 2025, the enemy's got his script that he has written out. The workers of darkness in this world, the human players, the evil workers, they've got their script. But Father, you have your own script. And we, that you would write a new decree, just like Mordecai was allowed to write a new decree that canceled out the decree of Haman to extinguish the Jews, to extinguish his people. God, that today, that you are writing a decree of life, of freedom, of salvation, and victory as we go forward in this coming year for this region, Lord, for our nation, and for your church. And we give you praise. We give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank him. We thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You have a need. Just lay that right before him right now. Just if you have a need right now, just lift your hand and let's say, God, I'm trusting you for that need right now. And I just know you're more than enough. You just, one hand goes up, says, I have this need. Second one says, I know you are enough, and I'm trusting you, Lord God, today. Lord, we're trusting you, God, for today, for these situations. I just especially think of probably the most crucial one, our loved ones that are way in trouble right now. Lord, we just want to lift them up to you. Prodigals of one kind or another, Lord, in Jesus' name, our hearts break. We know of children, grandchildren that are in harm's way, and it's a long road they've been in. Lord, in Jesus' name, can we lift them up tonight, right now? You have a name. You go ahead and lift that name up. And Lord, right now we want to lift up some specific children, grandchildren, and maybe adults, but they're children to people's children, grandchildren. Lord, in Jesus' name, we're asking you, God, to call their name, Lord. We're asking for mercy to be visited upon them. We pray, God, you would call them back to you, Lord Jesus. We're praying that the seeds of truth that have been sown in their heart and their mind over the years in the past where they've heard your truth, Father, we pray our prayers would be like the water upon that seed, and your Holy Spirit would cause warmth and sunlight to grow, and it might birth truth again, might begin to be birthed inside their lives. And we're asking for their soul. We're calling for their soul, Lord God. What the enemy meant for evil, God, you mean for good. And that these lives not going to be a testimony of how the world destroys things, but a testimony of how God brings life and out of barrenness and darkness, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we lift them up to you. We lift them up to you right now in Jesus' name. And I have many of names right here, and you do too. And we're calling upon you, we're believing, God, that you're more than able. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask my wife, Pastor Cindy, would you want to close us in prayer? You want to do that? Grab that mic and close us in prayer. And
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the amazing things you've done in this last year. Lord, never ever let us forget what you have done for us. And Lord, as we look forward to 2025, let us look forward with anticipation of what you're going to do. And Lord, as we have lifted up prayers for our children and grandchildren and loved ones, Lord, let us have this assurance that you are working on their behalf right now as a result of us praying for them. Lord, let this year be the year that we see the answers to our prayers. Let this year be the year that we see our loved ones saved and delivered. Let this be the year that we see our bodies physically healed in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And Lord, let this be the year of breakthrough for whatever situation we're facing right now. Let this be the year, and even this be the day and the month, that we see you working on our behalf in incredible ways, Lord. Mm-hmm. And we just want to give you glory and honor for all these things. And we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And everybody said, mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.